Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
Good evening, we're broadcasting from Vectis Radio on 104.6 FM. You can also hear us on vectisradio.com as well as the TuneIn Radio app. Podcasts will be available on your preferred podcast source later this evening. This is Vectis Movies, where we discuss the latest big screen interests, find our Twitter page, Vectis Movies, and share your thoughts. Tonight we're discussing some killer movies, The Meg and The Festival, as well as some recommendations from streaming services. I'm Zeb, and joining me in the studio is Sharon.
Hello.
And Tozen.
Hello.
How are you guys?
We're doing well, doing well.
Yeah? Enjoying the weather?
I'm enjoying the improvement. For me, it improves the weather when it's wet, because it means I don't have to work as hard. Ha ha. But I have rediscovered the frustrations of going back in time to what it was like with really slow broadband. I've had a really slow broadband day. And it's taken me back, you know, sort of like 10 years, to when you click on a page, you walk away, and you come back and hope that it's turning the page. It's beyond frustrating. I've become to realise how dependent we've become on technology that we regard as being like, you know, hey, I'm not one of these people who relies upon technology. I'm still, you know, a natural, you know, free from the entanglement of modern urgency.
What are you saying? Like, if we had a second Stone Age, I could totally.
Absolutely. I can light a candle with a flint and a bit of twig. And I'm sure I could, you know, cook a rabbit somehow if someone killed it first. But, you know, I'm sure you feel like you think, yeah, you just take the internet away from me and I'll be fine. I've got my books. I've got, you know, some sewing. I've got some knitting. I've got stuff I can keep myself occupied with.
See,
and
the
then
trouble
I've got
is,
slow
I don't
broadband
either.
And I'm just like, ugh. I've come to just be this impossible person.
The thing is, though, I can't cope with either. I can't do it when it's slow, but I can't use it when it's fast either. Sort of a bit
it's
of a dead
much,
end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So born out just, of your time, yeah. Zeb. Born out of your time.
My eyes have been opened to how dependent upon technology I have become. and it saddens me, rather. But we're going to look at the good side of that, though, aren't we? We're looking at streaming and other means of getting our films.
We will.
So
it may be good.
There's a two-edged sword to this.
It may be good, it may be bad, because a couple of weeks ago we had a topic of, is Netflix ruining cinema?
Yeah.
And we will talk about that. But first of all, I wanted to say something, and Zeb, thank you very much for indulging me, because just before coming into the studio, I found out that Aretha Franklin died today.
Oh, no, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, Aretha Franklin died today.
And oh, wow.
So you see, now Zeb wasn't actually sure. Zeb was like, who's Franklin? but like people
she's
like,
been off the radar for a while.
She's been off the radar for a while. But it's funny, because I know we've had a lot of, it seems in the last couple of years, we've had a lot of celebrity deaths. A lot of people who were sort of like iconic and were era defining. And Aretha Franklin, I mean, I find myself particularly fussed about this death, and I do not know why. I mean, Michael Jackson wasn't that fussed. Prince wasn't that fussed. Aretha Franklin, I'm like, oh my God, she's gone.
Yeah.
Why is she gone? She's gone too soon. No. And I don't know whether this has anything to do with it, but you've heard me say on this show a couple of times and over again that my favorite movie of all time is The Blues Brothers.
Yes.
And she is in The Blues Brothers. And she has one particular iconic scene in The Blues Brothers, because there's the whole thing where they're trying to put the band back together and they go to meet Matt Guitar Murphy, who's the lead guitarist, and he's married to Mrs. Murphy. And Mrs. Murphy is played by Aretha Franklin. They walk into the diner that they're running in somewhere in Chicago, and he's thinking about, oh yeah, it's The Blues Brothers, I can go back into the band. And then she sings one of her absolute classics, which Zeb has very, very kindly allowed me to play. I mean, it was just played. It was the last song on Patty's show before we started. But we're going to play the movie version. We're going to play the movie version because it is, well, just to say, Aretha Franklin, she only did two films. It was The Blues Brothers and Blues Brothers 2000. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, she's an absolute legend and left a massive mark on me. So you guys chat amongst yourselves while I just cue up the song, please.
Wow. I think, again, that's going tying our two subjects in together. That's the beauty of the modern age, isn't it? That we've got at the tips of our fingers access to this archive of music and film and performance that 10 years ago we didn't have, 20 years ago was unheard of. So now we can, you know, we hear about someone has died and then you just have to go click, 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 and then you can see them, you can hear them, and then you can just discover so much about them all over again.
All right, cool. So this is Aretha Franklin with Think from the Blues Brothers.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, think. Let your mind go, let yourself be free.
There you go.
Yep, Aretha Franklin would think from the Blues Brothers, from the diner scene. Thank you so much for indulging me. I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit emotional right now. I am really going to miss that woman. Never met her, but she was awesome. That's an awesome scene. And if it was only for that scene, I would thank her forever.
So to stop you from crying, let's move on to the movies. Okay, so
really
this week,
close.
Sharon and I have been to see The Meg.
The Meg.
So it's a film about a prehistoric... Yes. It's a film about a prehistoric shark that begins causing trouble for the world's best research facility, Mana One. Sharon, before I get too excited, can you sort of tell us your thoughts on this film?
Yeah, it's The Meg is a megalodon, which is a giant prehistoric shark, as we've just heard. And this megalodon, you don't see them very often. It's because they are underneath this mysterious sort of like layer that disguises the bottom of the deep sea trenches. It traps like a pocket of warm air underneath this band of sort of like gaseous stuff.
Okay, so
there's all this sort of life form is sort of existing underneath this layer at the bottom of the deepest trenches.
Okay, and now we've got the pseudoscience out of the way.
Yeah.
Giant shark.
Yeah. So lurking in here, there's a giant squid as well.
Ooh.
But he only gets a little cameo.
What?
There's
Are they trying
squid.
To make this mega shark versus giant octopus?
Eventually, I expect. There's this research team are going down. They want to sort of plunge and find out how deep is the deepest deeps.
Yeah.
And they're off the sort of coast of China in the, I forget the name of the trench. But anyway, they go down there. They're mucking around down there doing stuff.
Yeah.
And then they disturb Mr. Beastie.
Yeah.
And Mr. Beastie then follows them up to the surface.
Yeah.
Using a vent of hot gaseous air that allows them to go, ooh.
Yeah, pseudoscience.
Giant shark. And then chaos ensues, basically, as they try to kill said giant mega shark, and then mega shark tries to eat them, and then anyone who happens to be in the water. And so you have the usual shark scream. What was the Chinese word for shark?
Ooh,
it began with S as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it began with S.
That's really bad. I apologise for that. But it was something that sounded like shark but wasn't, but it was in Chinese.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of that. And then you get a bit of screaming. You get some great, great nods to films of the genre.
Oh, yep. So
like
many.
Aquatic
brilliant.
Beastie in films.
Yeah.
So you get things like Little Boy on the Beach. Mummy, can I go in the water? Okay, but be careful. Classic nod to Jaws.
And, of course, the banana boat.
There's a banana boat paddling away. There's a dog in the sea at one point.
I think we've got to admit Pippin was one of the best
the star
characters.
Of the show.
Yeah. Oh, watch out for Pippin.
I'm guessing
Pippin
that,
the dog.
I'm going to go there with the dog.
Yeah.
Pippin the dog.
There isn't just a random hobbit walking around this film.
There should have been.
But no, Pippin the dog is just a scene stealer all the way through. But yeah, there's some great notes. It's like, you know, sort of helicopters buzzing around. You're thinking, oh, is Mega Shark, Mega Beastie going to jump out the water and grab the helicopter? And so you're looking at these different things. So there's nods to Jaws. There's nods to Sharktopus,
oh,
one of my
yeah.
personal favourites.
Is there not a Sharknado?
I haven't seen the Sharknado series of films, so I'm sure there's probably nods in that as well.
Let me put it this way. Is there a tornado that ends up carrying sharks around?
No. There's a lot of sharks in the water that sort of do a circular swimmingy thing. So maybe that is a sort of nod in that direction. Yeah, so it's almost classic aquatic beasties doing nasty things film.
Yeah.
And it's almost like old school in that it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it takes the filmmaking seriously. So the effects are as good as they can be. Everyone acts their role. They're not camping or winking at the camera.
Yeah.
They are playing their roles. They're proper acting. Because as much as I love some of like the Sharktopus, and I love some of these like mega croc versus other creepy beastie from the sea type things. Some of them are camp and
they're low rent tat.
Yes. They're knowingly tat. This is obviously got a decent budget.
Yep.
It's got a really great cast.
Yeah.
It's got The Staith. It's got Cliff Curtis. It's got Lee Bingbing. I'm trying to think who else is there.
Rainn Wilson.
And Ruby Rose, who's
one of these
up and coming names you hear about now.
He's like everything.
Yeah.
She's beginning to get in it. She's
and the guy who was Hero in Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
He's in it for a little bit.
Masioka. Yeah.
That's his name. And then, yeah, it's just a well-made piece of cinema for all of the sort of content. They've done it as best as they can. You know, they've done it. And that's why I think the comparisons to Jaws are quite easy to make, because it was not made as a piece of tat. It was made as a piece of proper cinema.
Okay, but again, now, from the second this film, from the second the trailer for this film landed, where you looked at it and said,
jump on this.
Exactly. You're like, okay, this could be the most fun in the cinema that we've had for, because I don't think we've had a very, very good shark movie since Deep Blue Sea, which in my opinion was an excellent shark movie, and that was like a big shark movie. But
going back a while now.
Yeah, that's like in the 90s or something. Yeah. Actually, maybe it's early noughties. I can't remember. But good film. But this one, they decided to go, okay, shark size of a building or something like that,
20 meters long or something.
So, but for me, I think this is a film that I do not need to take itself seriously. This is a film that I need to just be fun.
Yeah. It is.
How does
fun.
It do with that? How
it
does it do with
fun.
That?
Zeb, you.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the trailer, I was actually quite disappointed, and I was thinking, I'm not going to go see this film based on that trailer. This is going to be a disappointment. This just looks like enlarged Jaws. There's nothing new you can do with it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then Sharon said about going to see it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a chance. And I got about a minute in, and I was going, wow. Like, it was just brilliant. I mean, right
you're
from
like,
the start.
You're
the
like,
quality.
Forget film studies. Yeah. This is cinema.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. My film studies was reduced to wow. But the cinematography was amazing. And it was interesting because I was reading about some interviews they had with the cast and crew, and they were all saying how disappointed they were with the outcome of the film, and it wasn't sort of how they wanted it to be or how they expected. And
really?
That a lot of the effects could have been better.
Was there
thinking, well, what else? What else could you do?
That's a very, very weird promotional strategy.
Well, no, but it was that kind of weird thing. But actually, you go and see it, and it's brilliant. And I was on the edge of my seat for so much of it, and the soundtrack with it, the editing was phenomenal. And like you say, the comedy just
you get
really
the right
it.
Moments at the right times, because sometimes comedy in these sort of things, you lose any pathos because they're looking out for the next joke. But they, you know, obviously when there's a beastie sharky thing that's going to be chomping its way through some of the cast,
you've got to
want the cast to live. You don't want them all to be like, hey, how are you going to get chomped up? So you've got to have that pacing, haven't you, so that if someone does die and it's an emotional point, you've got to be able to go, wow, that is
that's what I mean, you've got to be able to pull
moment.
It back,
yeah, and then you've got to have that humor as well. So I think they've got the balance
and I found
really
the
well.
Pace really interesting with this film, because at times I was thinking, okay, is this taking a little bit longer, nothing really is happening, and then something will be said or there'll be a certain shot and you'll be like, oh, okay, it was totally worth it to see that. I don't know, it's almost childish, the excitement you feel sort of over little things.
Okay, see, now that is what I feel. A film like this, that's what it needs to give you. It needs to give you childish enjoyment.
Mm. Yeah, you can just let it do its thing, I think.
All right.
And it did it, I think it did its thing really well.
So okay, I'm guessing that Jason Statham was there to be action man.
Oh, yeah,
much.
And you got the money shot.
Definitely.
You got the money shot well. There's a gratuitous shower scene. What? I mean, you don't need to see Jason Statham in the shower.
Oh, all right, cool.
But, you know, hey, he was. And
no one's complaining.
No one's complaining in this, you know, this chair.
No, I guess it's about time they've started, like, you know, evening the scales on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only sort of gratuitous scene in the film. Was like, hey, I'm just getting out of the shower. Hey, I'm going to find the smallest towel on board this station.
Oh, look, there's a shark.
And it's just like, hey, if I put my hands just there, this really shows off my sort of musculature really well.
He must be getting to the point, like, because I remember Pierce Brosnan in the film The Thomas Crown Affair, the remake of The Thomas Crown Affair. Pierce Brosnan has a scene he has quite a few raunchy scenes, to put it mildly, with Rene Russo. And there's a scene which he shows off his butt, and it's his bare butt. And people are like, oh, was that a stunt? But he was like, no, that was my butt. It's like, I think it's a nice butt. I need to show it off. It's about to start drooping. I'm nearly 50.
This is going to be. Yeah, so I think the Stath has got to be in his 50s now.
I think he's getting close to 50. I think it's 40-something.
40-something?
I think it's 40-something.
Okay, I know that we're of a similar age. Yeah. That's why I'm allowed to go a little bit weird.
You're like, oh, that's right. And it's actually age-appropriate for once.
Yeah. It's, it's not lechy if it's the same age. So I think, yeah, that was the only element when you sort of go, yeah, you know why they've done that, because he's not saying, hey, I haven't got this bod for nothing, I'm showing it off.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, so, I'm showing it off because next week I'm stopping going to the gym.
Yeah, this is it, people, you know.
But talking about age appropriate, so another thing that the cast have brought up was how they were disappointed about the lack of gore in this film. Mm. And yes, there are the points, you know, obviously there's sharks, they're eating people, yeah. Bits are gory, but there wasn't as much as you probably
expect. Yeah, they've
expect.
Toned it back, even from like the Jaws level of gore, they have toned it back a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Jaws is in no way to kid for them.
No, it's not. And they've got the jumps and the shocks, and there's a few jumpy moments, but they're not dwelt upon.
Mm.
But yeah, there's the odd, I think you get to see a severed arm.
Yes, yes.
And I'm trying to think, you don't see much more than...
No, and I was thinking, because I remember watching it, and like even the blood in the sea, in Jaws, you know, they make a really big thing of all this red, and it's not like that in this film. There's only a minuscule amount of it, just
the
subtle
enough. Most you see is when they're sort of chumming at one point. They're trying to sort of lure Mr. Mega Beastie Shark.
That sounds straight out of Jaws.
Yeah, and they're chumming, and so you see that. There's a great shot, actually, where you see these sort of like trails of sort of the dark matter, and it's sort of in the, it's almost like a scene that you could see in The Shape of Water, you know, how they're in love with the water.
Yeah.
And you get this scene where it's all like descending, and that's just it's a great shot.
Oh, nice.
But that's the only real blood you see in it, is when they're coming.
Okay, but what I really want to know is, do you get to feel the character of the shark? Do you get to get its motivation? Do you get to like delve deep
down? Do you really feel
into,
that
into
this
its
is
backstory
a,
and figure out
torn from its own environment?
Exactly. Why is this shark eating people? Do they give you enough of that?
Probably enough for us to.
Yeah, I think
I don't
the
care.
Not give a darn.
Yeah,
I really don't care.
The characterization of all of the others, I think, kind of emphasizes it enough. And there's a real kind of interest on the environment, and they do a lot of nods to sort of different things. And in that respect, you understand the shark. It's their understanding of the shark.
Yeah.
That kind of creates its personality.
Because remember, we did a podcast and we talked about the creature feature, and we talked about some of the things about the creature feature. So is it kind of like the whole thing where they say, because one of the things they do in the creature feature, they did it in the last King Kong movie, is like, look, we are the parasites. We're not supposed to be in this world.
Yes.
It really is their world.
Yes.
when they're the first scene, when you're sort of like, early on, when... Megalodon is first, you know, sort of like prodded in his own environment. You can understand, and it does show you like aliens in an environment.
Yeah.
And a few scenes where they sort of deploy, I don't think it's a spoiler, but they deploy lights at one point to have a look about. And you're thinking, hang on a minute, these creatures live in the deep, deep, deep trenches. Shining bright lights on them is not actually a very nice thing to do.
That was something that really annoyed me watching it. It's like, why would you?
Why would you have these bright sort of like, you know, halogen lights going, hello, sleepy, dark creatures?
It's like, because plot. Giant shark!
Giant shark!
And there were parts of it that felt like that. But, okay, I want to keep on talking about this film. I could talk about this forever. But I think we need to go to an ad break. So let's have star ratings.
I would give it a 4.
I think I would give it a 4 as well.
Oh, okay, cool. That is interesting. That is very interesting. I look forward to seeing this.
Okay, all right. We'll be right back after the break.
Vectis Radio. 104.6. The heart of the island's community.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoiled countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Hey guys, it's Lucas, male solo artist on the Isle of Wight. Looking for 80s and 90s entertainment? Look no further. Lucas is an up-and-coming solo artist on the island and will surely make those occasions a little bit special. Pubs, bars, hotels, weddings and much more. If you want to book me, contact me on Facebook on my page, Lucas Male Solo Artist.
Or telephone 07599 175 891.
Thank you.
ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mixed concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless, of course, you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
As part of Vectis Radio being out and about for 2018, we will be live at Tesco in Ryde next Saturday morning, where they're hosting a charity event in aid of the Wessex Cancer Trust. Join us from 10 for fun and nonsense, and if you're there shopping, come and say hello. We don't bite. See you there.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back to Vectis Movies. So next we are going to be talking about the festival, Tozen.
Yeah, I think that was a bit of Tom Petty we were getting.
A little bit.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm quite happy. Like we
can back down because it's our show now.
Yeah, yeah. Go away, Tom Petty. You and your heartbreakers or pacemakers. What were they called? I think it was heartbreakers.
Heartbreakers.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Anyway, enough about that music. We're talking about movies. So we're talking about the festival now. Because we have this weird thing that happens quite a bit with us on shows. Like in the last couple of weeks, we've spoken about how there haven't been that many films released because now they release movies mostly on a Thursday. So the problem is we do the show on a Thursday. We're all kind of busy on a Thursday. So we don't really have that much time to see films right before we come in. So by the time you hear this show, you're probably going to go, hang on, they only reviewed like these films. There's all these other films out because there's quite a few other ones out today as well. But unfortunately, we couldn't get around to that. So I managed to sneak into the cinema beforehand, just before the show, and see a film called The Festival. You guys saw The Meg. Even though I wanted to see that, I thought I'll go see The Festival instead. And this is, as the name kind of implies, and I think the name is kind of like, oh, you need to know about it. And the poster, it has Joe Thomas, who's one of the guys from The Inbetweeners in it. He plays, I can't remember the name from The Inbetweeners anyway. But he's one of the guys from The Inbetweeners, and it's all about, the bulk of it is about these guys, they finish uni and they go to a festival. And it's about what happens in the weekend while they're there. So this festival that's supposed to be, it could be the Isle of Wight Festival, it could be the Reading Festival, it could be Glastonbury. It doesn't look as big as Glastonbury, but it could be anything like that. And it's one of these teenage comedies. It's written by the guys who wrote The Inbetweeners. So there's a certain amount of this, which almost kind of feels like The Inbetweeners go to a festival. There's there's not four of them, but this time it's just like you have Joe Thomas, whose character's name I cannot, Nick, he's called Nick, and you have his friend, can't remember his name either. I think it's Sean. Yeah, and it's like, and they go to this festival, and his friend is all kind of like happy-go-lucky, but he's like really, really uptight, and he's like, no, I don't want to be here. I just want to go home. I just want to have a poo. Why is everything so dirty? Why does everything smell of piss? Why is everything that kind of stuff? And he's kind of like, just complaining about the whole festival thing, and then you have a weekend of crazy debauchery of the kind of stuff that I am reliably informed happens at festivals. I have never actually been to one where you go camp for the weekend, but it's...
I have, but a long time ago, and I don't think it was a sort of festival where that sort of thing went on.
But this is kind of like this is the whole people go there with drugs, find a way to smuggle drugs in, find stuff on the floor, meet up with random people, hook up with random people. And it's
definitely not the sort of festival I went to.
and it's kind of like, it's the thing about it is, I don't think this film is gonzo enough. I don't think it's crazy enough. So, because from what I've understood about most people, when they talk about going to a festival, it feels like a massive fever dream because there's just so much crazy stuff going on, and you're like, I don't really know. And people get to the end of the weekend and they're like, they don't even know who they are anymore because they haven't slept for that long. And I feel like the film sort of like takes a very sort of straightforward story through the middle of all this, and it's like, okay, so you have all this crazy stuff going on, but there's this straightforward story about this guy who really doesn't want to be there. Just before he goes to the festival, he's broken up with his girlfriend and she's at the festival as well because it was something they were supposed to do together. And so he's like trying to win her back. No points for guessing how that goes. And it's like, oh, cool. So I think it's very, 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 very predictable. There are a couple of cameos from, like, you know, British comedians. Then they come on screen. They're there for 5 minutes. They do good. They do well. I think Claudia O'Doherty, who is an Australian actress, who she's one of these people that kind of just sort of plays the same character in everything that she does. So she's in a TV show on Netflix called Love. She plays the same character she does here. It's kind of like, you know, just sort of like an Australian almost backpacker, everything like that, just going up and everything like that, always talking. She's a little bit weird, but it's okay, all that kind of stuff. And they do switch the formula a bit around. Like, the pairings that end up, because this is a teenage coming of age thing, so you know that there's going to be people pairing up by the end of the film. It's not the pairings you will expect. There's a bit, there's bits in it where they reference like Pulp Fiction. There's a bit where I'm pretty sure they were referencing the Wicker Man, because they're at a festival, they're going to the woods, and there's all these people with masks on, and there's fire, and there's a ritual, and it goes a bit gross out. It goes a bit kind of like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? There were a couple of bits that made me laugh that I actually sort of caught myself laughing out loud in the cinema, but I can't remember what they were. Which kind of tells you a little bit about this film. It tells you a little bit about the film. So I thought it was all right, but I was wondering between a 2 and a 3 star, and I've been like, I think I've kind of decided I'm going to a 2.
Okay.
I think it's.
No surprises then, really.
It's no surprises then. It's kind of like also straightforward. There's a thing like, because one of the characters is black, and he talks about how German Clement, who's one half of the Flight of the Conchords. One of the Flight of the Conchords. So German Clement, he shows up and he plays this guy's kind of like stepdad, and they keep talking about, oh yeah, you know, I've been going out with your mom, and he's like, oh my god, that guy's been going out with my mom, I can't stand him, why does he keep thinking he's my dad? And they talk about this, but they never show the mom. And it makes me feel like, why aren't you showing the mom? And it was just one of those weird things that just stuck me. I was like, why aren't you showing the mom? Why is it that it's so okay? This is kind of like, what is it, like a guy's film or anything like that? The mom doesn't have a place, or so. It's good. It goes along. It's distracting enough. I don't think it's massively funny. I don't think it's massively does anything that sort of like gives you an insight into what a festival is like, or because there's some films that you do and that people watch them and go, oh yeah, yeah, that's kind of how it's like. When I know there's a film called there's We Are Your Friends, which is all about the rave scene, and there's another one, there's a French film that I cannot remember the name of, but people watched it and said, yeah, that is what it was like to be a raver in the early 90s. This, I don't feel like this tells you this is what it's like to be at a festival. It's kind of like, oh, festival, crazy things happen, and let's have this kind of hackneyed, sort of a bit stereotypical story that we're going to just sort of like, you know, fit into the whole thing. So, yeah, I think I'll give it a 2 out of 5.
Okay.
It kind of seems like a weird sort of film to do for me, because if you're interested in going to see this, it's kind of like you're into festivals anyway, so... You know, is there substance there to?
Well, I think I can see why you would want to do something like it's kind of like so UFC. So people like UFC and they're really, really big into UFC. And I remember there was a time when they started trying to make UFC films, and the best of them by a country mile.
What's UFC?
UFC is the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like, you know how you had boxing, and then people decided boxing just wasn't brutal enough.
So like mixed martial art type stuff.
Exactly. a mixed martial arts. So the best mixed martial art film by a country mile is Warrior.
Yes, I've seen it. I was just thinking that's the thing that came to my head.
Warrior.
Great film.
Yeah, Warrior with Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
And that's just a film that you don't even have to be into it to sort of get into that film.
Yeah, you get it. You entirely get it. Yeah.
And people who are mixed martial arts fans were like, yes, yes, we love it. Oh yes. It really tells you what it's like. This tells you why we love it and all that kind of stuff. And this doesn't really do that for festivals. I think the people who are into festival going, I can imagine that there'll be like a film that, and quite frankly, I think it'll probably be a documentary that could be made that festival goers would be like, yes, we love that film. That tells us exactly why we go. It captures the spirit of what it's like to be there. And I think this is almost kind of like a touristy thing. It's like, okay, we're going to pick those bits and pick those bits because those are the bits we think we can make a funny joke about. But it doesn't go any, and I think you can make a comedy, but it's kind of like a little bit deeper, but it doesn't really do anything with that. I think it's distracting enough, but nothing majorly special.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like it's got hints of Bridget Jones's Baby, because it's almost like a fish out of water where she ends up going to a festival and she gets into the mud and she gets into like the hippie people and then there's sort of like the crowded bars and the crowded dance where you can't hear anything.
Bumps into Ed Sheeran, doesn't recognise who he is.
Yeah, so there's sort of nods to the sort of like the things you expect to see at a festival, you know, sort of mud, hippies, drugs and stuff.
And there were bits
that's
of this
not everyone's drug festival experience, I have to say.
There are bits of this film. There are bits of this film where I was thinking of Bridget Jones's Baby, and I was thinking like, especially the festival scenes. Some of the festival scenes that they're shot with a crowd. I think it was filmed at Reading and Leeds last year. And you look at them and you actually think, oh, and that's actually impressive. Seeing that number of people all going crazy at the same time, that looks amazing. But I feel like something like Bridget Jones's Baby, for the 20 minutes or so that it was at that festival, I think it's kind of like, you know, of this, they said, okay, we need this festival to be there, this part of the film, so have this bit of the story.
Yeah.
We're not really going to go deep into the festival. She's going to be fish out of the water, and it's for laughs. But imagine that 20 minutes of that film stretched to 90.
Yes, then you've got to go a bit.
Yeah. And then you're kind of like, okay, all right, we get it. He doesn't like it. He wants to go home.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, it's, that's...
So, two sounds reasonable to me.
I would say two. I really cannot find myself recommending that anybody goes to watch it. It's like, I think if you like Joe Thomas from The Inbetweeners, if you like that kind of... This film is very, very... It's like Inbetweeners light.
Would you say it's sort of aimed at sort of mid to late teens?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
hands down. Actually, I tell you, I think I've just figured out who they're aiming this film at. They're aiming this film at teenagers who have not been to a festival yet.
To scare you away, or?
Oh, no, not to make you think that you should go. That is like going to be the best time ever. It's like people go, yeah, if I go to the festival, maybe I too will have a drunken experience and end up with a tattoo on my bum. Maybe I too will get a piercing on a random part of my body that I do not know how it got there.
Well, there you go. If you need that encouragement, go see this film.
Yeah, if you're thinking about maybe I want to go to a festival, but I'm not too sure, maybe go see the festival because, hey, quite frankly, I can't recommend.
Okay, all right. We'll be right back after the break.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.
Island Harbour presents The Breeze Restaurant and Bar. We offer a variety of delicious foods which can be enjoyed inside the recently refurbished restaurant or outside, overlooking the picturesque marina. Start your day well with something from our breakfast menu. Enjoy afternoon tea with a slice of freshly made cake or drop by for an evening meal with the family. We offer a range of tasty British classics with a choice of daily specials. Our produce is locally sourced to ensure quality and taste. The Breeze Restaurant and Bar, one of the Solent's best kept secrets. Call us today on 533-388.
West White Audio, the island's technical troubleshooters. Having problems with your phone, or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested or just a light fitted. We've got it covered. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All Allen coverage.
Do you suspect there may be some bullying going on within your company? Have you wondered what, if anything, you can do to stop it? Break the Cycles one-day workshop, Thriving in the Workplace, is the solution to any bullying that may be impacting the smooth running of your organisation, leading to increased staff turnover. There may be negative PR for your company if it's associated with bullying and nothing is done. For more information about this one-day workshop on workplace bullying, click breakthecycle.org.uk or email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk. Or you can call us on 01983 754 666 for an informal chat.
Jewson, the national name with a local heart. We see the Four P's Project as a fantastic opportunity for young people to gain valuable life skills and receive opportunities that may have passed them by. Congratulations to Vectis Radio for taking this initiative, a truly local community-based radio station. Jewson, the national name with a local heart. For kitchens and building materials, phone us on 525 111 or look for jewson.co.uk.
People have been asking about Hair Bear's all-new record fair.
Can I get an update on my stocks and shares?
No, it's all about the music.
Can I find out when to plant my seedlings?
No, it's all about the music.
Can I hear a debate about the state of the economy in Venezuela?
No, it's all about the music.
Can I hear the best music of the last 50 years in a three-hour selection of classic tracks?
No, it's... Yeah, no, actually, yes, you can. That's what it's all about. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 10pm, Vectis Radio 104.6 FM for Hair Bear's Record Fair. It's all about the music.
We are your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Welcome back to Vectis Movies. Okay, so we're now going to talk about the latest film, Unfriended. But we've also got Sean with us now.
Have we? Is Sean, well, can you hear us?
Hello there.
Oh, hi, Sean. We have got a Sean.
Got me this time, yeah. I'm sorry about last week. I was a bit hassled and mobile and the signal wasn't too good. So I'm on the line now.
You sound more stable, if possible.
Yeah, I was coming in and out. The signal was losing, so, yeah.
Where the country in?
I'm still in the UK, but... you know, I'm not sure where I'm going to be next week.
Sounds like a good life.
I might actually be back for next week. I can't promise anything, pretty random. But
it's like
I may.
Travels with Sean. Or either that or it's Sean, International Man of Mystery.
Indeed. So, yeah, I've been listening to your show, though, online. And, yeah, it all sounds pretty good. You guys are doing a really good job. It's great when I listen to you guys.
Oh, thank you, Sean. Well, we're missing having you here. Why don't you tell us about the Unfriended?
Unfriended, yeah. First, I was going to say something about the Meg, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it, buddy. Yeah.
Join us in the Meg Fest.
The Meg Fest. I think Sharon summed it all up, and I think Zeb summed it all up as well. This was a really, really good, fun movie. I remember seeing Rampage early on with Big Giant Beasts, and yeah. I really enjoyed that. So I would have to say that I think you guys gave it, how many stars? Four, was it?
Four, yeah.
Gave it a 4 stars. Well, I'm going to have to agree with you guys because I think it was well worthy of 4 stars. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did notice the nods to previous films about sharks. And, I mean, I think the one where it comes out of the water is just like, whoa, it's in the trailer. So, I mean, that's just like huge, like double the size of Jaws. So yeah, that's a good solid 4 stars from me. So you need to see that, Tozen, so we get your take on it.
I've got it down on my mindless summer fun list to see.
Yeah. And I figured like the festival was probably going to be a bit sort of in between us, but not quite so good.
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought that as well, but I just thought, well, we need some variety. We need to go see more than one film.
We do.
So that's why I said, because I did not harbor much hope for the film, and I was right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I guess you want my views on Unfriended, huh?
Yep, because I think you have taken the bullet once more. You have decided to be our resident... Oh, there's a horror. I told Zeb just before you came on that I think this is going to be our disappointing horror of the week, because I think out of all of us, this is a sequel, isn't it?
It is a sequel, yeah.
And out of all of us, you're the only one of us who's seen the original, if I'm correct, this is the Facebook horror movie where it's all about people getting friended, and if you get unfriended, you die in 7 days or something like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, this one's slightly different. It's not really related to the original movie in any way at all, just in name, I guess.
Okay.
And it's a story about this guy. He's sort of found this computer or acquired this computer, and he manages to break into it. I mean, I know I'm not really that au fait with computers. You know, it's more of a, you know, I can do the basics, but I don't know much about computers. So I wouldn't think this film would appeal to me. I mean, the other one was okay.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this film, I really enjoyed this film.
Okay.
I know people slate them, and I thought I wouldn't enjoy it with it all about computers, but I did really enjoy it. So this this guy gets this computer, he breaks into it, and then he finds all these weird things, but he knows what he's doing, and he's got a group of friends, and they decide to do a game night. Well, all of a sudden, strange things start happening, and he gets this message to the people that he's playing the game night with. They must all stay online. He's got to keep them online. They can't go away. And it basically takes over his computer. And I think this is... It's a mystery movie. I wouldn't really call it a horror movie. It's more of a thriller movie.
Okay, yeah. Like a bit like a whodunit.
Well, not so much a whodunit, but it's like, you know, you sort of see shadows and... And so you've got all these screens going around that keep flitting, and people turn up and they're going, no, and you see people behind people, and some people get taken and they say, oh, something's going to happen if you don't do this, if you don't do that. And, of course, really, it's all, you know, he was meant to find this computer because they all come up with, you know, you get all these people that suddenly come up, take over the computer in, like, rooms, and they say, you know, do we want him to do this? Do we want him? So, yeah, I mean... I think it must have been a really cheap film to make, but I assume it's going to make a few bob. The other one did, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but because that's what they do with horror movies. I say a lot of the times, horror is like a genre where you don't have to spend a lot of money. As long as you have like a sort of like a hook of an idea, you can make a film that essentially it wouldn't make that much money, but compared to how much you spent on making it, it will be a success. Because
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that in this film you probably didn't recognize anybody in it because they cast people who are not big names and therefore are cheap.
Yeah, and I must say that personally I didn't really sympathize with any of the characters. There was that. I didn't, like, you know, they didn't go too much through a story. You know, there was a few relationships going on. And obviously you had the guy who was saying, oh, we've got to do this. I've got all these things. There's no way they can get me. There's no way, you know, he said, let me give it all this stuff. I think it was some UK guy in the UK, but of course they get to him. But a bit, you know, there's a couple of silly bits in it that I thought, I don't think they'd have done that. Like, but the concept, I really, really enjoyed the concept, and I found myself thinking, yeah, this is not too bad of a movie. You know, I didn't hate it or anything. So, but I didn't feel any empathy or compassion towards any of the characters. You know, I thought, why would you take that computer? As soon as this strange thing's happened, you think, my God, I'm getting rid of this. You know what I mean? But no, they have to delve a little bit deeper, don't they? And so, you know, you must stay online, and you must do this, and you must, and keep all your friends online. If any of them go, we're going to kill this person. And yeah, so you must. So the guy who's got the computer, he's sort of pretending that it's a game he's invented, you know, because it's a game night, and he's saying, oh, and they're going, well, it's a pretty weird game, you know, what's this, are you sure? And then just gets worse and worse and worse, and all of a sudden there's people saying, oh, I'm going out, make them stay, and, you know, he tries all things like that, and of course, so, I mean, that's basically it, really. I don't know if it's something that, I'm sure Sharon wouldn't go to see it, but I don't know if Zeb would.
No, it's not something I'd put on my rent list, I think.
No, I'm not one for horror, to be honest. They're all a bit predictable and boring to me.
I wouldn't say this one's predictable, and as I say, I would look at it more as a thriller movie than a horror movie, because there wasn't much in the way of gore or blood or slash or anything like that. It was more of a, you know...
So it sounds like it's a lot more suspense.
Yeah, suspenseful. Yeah, I would say it's a lot. You know, you've got a lot more suspense there. So
guy finds computer, takes it home, puts it on, and then something comes into the computer that starts essentially running his life.
It sort of gets taken over. The computer gets taken over, and he has to do all these things. You know, otherwise something terrible is going to happen.
So. Almost like a sort of
dark
game.
That wouldn't happen in my house. My broadband's not good enough for that.
that's it, isn't it, really? As I say, I wouldn't have the first clue. I mean, this guy's switching between screens, you know, he's going to, like, bitcoins and then to video feeds and then, and this, you know, he's doing things really fast, so I'm assuming he must have some fast broadband or something. You know, the whole computer sort of, he does all these things on the computer and then basically the computer gets taken over, he clicks on the wrong things, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know, what about you, Tosin, because you're really good at the technical side of things, aren't you?
Well, it is. I don't know. I think a film like this could be done quite well. I know there's a film that's coming up called Searching. It's
right.
Just like Searching .. which is all about the online social media thing. And it's saying, and people have been saying, ooh, this is kind of like what Hitchcock would have done if he had social media. So I think that you can do good things with that. I've seen episodes of TV shows which are all built around social media and about different windows and about who's talking to who and who's having FaceTime with whatever. And those actually work quite well. And So something like this, I don't think I'm not that interested. I don't think it's whether about it's a computer or not. I think it's just about whether you have like a good hook in there. It sounds a little bit like an episode of Black Mirror. There's one particular episode of Black Mirror where a guy's computer gets taken over, and they say, "Look, we know what you've been doing online. Do what we tell you, otherwise we're going to tell your whole family what you've been doing online." And so he has to go through all these sort of like. He has to keep jumping through all these hoops to try and, like, you know, keep his family from finding out what he's been up to. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And in the end, well, go watch the show.
I think what's quite interesting with this one is, although it's only one person that takes over the computer to start with, all of a sudden you start seeing these other people coming in. So it's like a whole group of people, and they're all saying, you know, this is what we're going to do, and it's like a voting thing, you know. So they have a vote. What should he live? Should he die? Should he, you know? So they're all sort of voting on what should happen to the people, you know. And then everybody's sort of casting their votes. So I think there was a film like that, which was a while ago, wasn't there? Where there was like a game, and
there's a few game ones where they sort of it starts off quite innocuous, and then it starts sort of. The odds get ramped up each time.
Actually, a film called The Game.
That's the one. Is that the one where it's like, if you go in the game, you can win loads of money, but you got to do lots of things.
Yeah, it starts off with dares, doesn't it? And then it becomes more and more.
I think you're talking, that's the one with the young people. I was thinking about the Michael Douglas one.
The Michael Douglas one, and then this is the one with, was it Emma Roberts?
It was Emma Roberts. I think it was called Nerve.
No, that's it.
The one, yeah. But they have to do lots of things, so, yeah. But,
So, Sean, how many stars would you give this one?
I would give this a 3.
Okay, cool.
I'd give this a 3, yeah, because it wasn't, you know, I mean, I didn't hate it. I found it quite interesting. And, you know, as I say, especially being someone who's not majorly tech savvy, you know, but I thought it was a nice concept, and I did find it interesting, really. I mean, the first one, when I went to see the first one, you know, I think this is much, much better than the first one, really.
Okay, all right. But from what you said, it also sounds as if it sounds like it was a different film that they just put the same name on and just put, like, you know, another title on it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yep. like how they do the Cloverfield movies. They're like, this is another film.
Ugh.
We're going to call it Cloverfield.
Did you see Cloverfield then, Zeb?
I went to see 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yep.
And I was thoroughly disappointed. Like, I feel like they just couldn't decide what genre they were doing, and I don't know, it just felt messy and wrong, and there were parts where you were sort of on the edge of your seat, like, oh, what's going to happen, but it was just so predictable in the end.
I think it was one of those films, like I've said before, it sort of lets you down at the end, you know, started off quite a good concept, starts off really, really good.
Yeah, it had a lot of potential, and then they just didn't sort of finish
it. So many films that have...
Well, I think it's because that was another film that they attached a Cloverfield ending to, so it was a totally different film. That's why up to a certain point you're like, ooh, where's this going? Then something happens and then all of a sudden, whoa! And I think that there's quite a few films that they do that, like Mean Girls 2.
Yeah,
it was just a film set in a high school, and they decided to sort of attach the Mean Girls name to it. So they happens where you have all these films where we've made another film. There was that other film that did kind of well. We'll just put this on him and say that this is a sequel and no one's going to notice. Trust us, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's it, really. There's quite a few like that. There are some, I mean, I don't know, perhaps, did we do a sequel? Have we ever done a show about sequels? Because some are good and some are really awful and some are okay.
Now, I know you've been talking about ages. You've always wanted to do a show about sequels, but I don't think we ever actually did one about sequels. I think we did one about remakes.
Remakes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did do one about remakes, but yeah. Perhaps we should do one about sequels.
I think we'd have a lot to rant about.
No, there's a couple I could say. But some are like prequels or you know, and I mean, there's going to be Predator coming out, isn't there?
The Predator.
Yeah, the trailer looks interesting for that.
The Predator, I think I'm kind of intrigued because it's Shane Black, and I want to see what he does. Yeah. But there's bits in the trailer that I feel like they're giving too much away. Mm. And there's bits of it where I'm like, I'm not sure I like that tact. But so it's a film that I'm going to go watch anyway. And yeah. I'm hoping that they have something to surprise me. And I'm hoping that there's something about the tone or the language or the script that actually does surprise me. But at the moment, I'm just kind of a bit like, no, I don't really know.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, it's funny. With trailers, when you see the actual film, you know, the trailers can put you off and the film can be quite good. But then
yeah, I think sometimes they tell you too much and you think, I don't want to see that film anymore because I don't feel you've got anything to show me that I haven't already seen. We saw a couple of trailers yesterday before The Meg, and sometimes you think, I think I've seen all the funny bits.
Yeah,
in
I was
the
trying to think what it was called, but and
the one about the Muppets being murdered.
That's
the Happy Time Murders.
That's Happy Time Murders. And it was just like, okay, this from the trailer it looks good, but you know that's the whole story. That's all of the comedy. That's it. We don't need to watch it.
You don't need to see the film.
Well, you hope that isn't the case. But okay, we said I know we're running out of time, but we said we're going to do something about Netflix. So if you don't want to go to the cinema, you want to have something at home, I think if we're going to recommend a film, and I know it's a film that you liked, Sean, I'm going to say Kubo and the Two Strings. Kubo and the Two Strings is now on Netflix. Beautiful, wonderful animation. And yeah, I think the ending is a bit near, but apart from that, it goes well.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that is about all we have got time for on the Vectis Movies show tonight. So that is a goodbye from us.
And a goodbye from us.
And a goodbye from me as well.
And a goodbye from me. Well done, Zeb. And I guess you'll be back next week. I'm not sure about myself.
I will. I will be back.
I'll be back. Terminator's due a remake, isn't it?
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
And just like that.
And just like that. Vectis Radio.